Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, February 19th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 38, the second paragraph, You May Think, and we are reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Joanne L., who will be reading the 12 steps, Terry S., will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Jordan L., Dana P., and Julie E.B. The share ID for Thursday, February 18th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 16,428. That's 16428. This morning's Friday, February 19th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting share ID is 16,436. That's 16436. Our newcomer greeter for today is Suzanne W., and Betsy H. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, world. Good morning, Kathleen. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovered in Rhode Island, the smallest state in the union. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I pass and have a great weekend, everybody.
And thank you, Joanne L. Terry S., would you read the 12 traditions for us, please?
Hi, this is Terry S., recovering food addict in Oregon. 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks.
And thank you, Terry S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are reading what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 38, the second paragraph that begins with "You may think," and we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. So Julie E.B., if you could get us started, please.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. You may think our illustration is too ridiculous, but is it? We who have been through the ringer have to admit that if we substituted alcoholism for jaywalking, the illustration would fit us exactly. However intelligent we may have been in other respects, where alcohol has been involved, we have been strangely insane. It's strong language. But isn't it true? Oh, yeah. You know, listening to the Jaywalker, I think, is a great opportunity to identify in, no matter where you are in terms of working this program, being introduced to this program. I could really identify with having been through the ringer. I really saw my whole life that way, that it was happening to me, and I just kept being put through the ringer. And but again and again and again, I would go out for the food, for the diet, for the eating, for the not eating, for the more, and especially continue going out for the same ways of thinking, the same ways of acting. And it was like same type of relationships, same type of trying to do it myself. I had a great talk this morning with my 11-step train partner about the whole topic of just trying to force myself, you know. With the food, I would try and force myself, using what I would later find out from this Big Book were exactly the things that would boomerang. I try and force myself by terrorizing myself with fear, you know, to not eat. I would try and force myself by filling up with resentment, anger, working myself up, grandiose thinking, intensity. I would try and guilt myself. And it turns out none of that works. And that's part of the insanity for me, the mental twist that this chapter describes, that I would try and force my way. You know, now when I look at someone on some TV show and they're shouldering and forcing their way through a door, I thought that's how I had to get through life. I thought that's how I had to not eat. I thought everything was about forcing myself, making myself, or just giving up because, ouch, it just hurts to force that. And it turns out that when I was full of complete abandon, which means to give up completely, having run my course, my higher power was right there with the help of this program, this line, my sponsor, so many fellows, to greet me with the things that would actually change me. Love, knowledge, that not just intellectual knowledge that God is there for me, but a daily knowledge that I had a God who cares for me, who I could depend on, who would direct me, a higher power that would speak gently to me and lovingly and move me into a different space. So now, instead of forcing my way through life, which is strangely insane, now it's like flowing with a stream, as the 11th step talks about. So I hope today your day can flow and you can be awake, conscious of the people your higher power has brought into your life to help just move you along a little bit in the river. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie B., for getting us started this morning. And we're on page 38, the second paragraph, You May Think. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph who has not shared in the last 3 days?
Sherry KB.
New York.
Sherry KB. Who came after Sherry KB?
Tita.
Noelle E.
Say your name again, Tita.
Tita from New York with a K, Tita.
Oh, Tika.
Sorry.
What's the first initial?
It's K as in Karen. So Kita from New York.
Oh, Kita. And your first initial, Kita?
Yes, from New York.
What's your first initial of your last name?
D.
D. Okay.
Noelle E.
Okay, Noelle E.
Sarah B.
Kara B. Can take a couple more.
Sherry H.M.
Sherry H.M.
Patty F.
And Patty F. Okay, let's stop right there. That's a perfect lineup. Okay, so I have Sherry K.B., Kita D., Noelle E., Kara B., Sherry H.M., and Patty F. So go ahead, please, Sherry K.B. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, my friend. Good morning, Kathleen. Now it's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. And thanks so much for your service, Kathleen O, and Team Friday and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. You know, I love this chapter because, you know, we've heard all this week and since we've been in this chapter that it's, you know, it's about relapse, but it's also about more about insanity. Because when I've been in relapse, I've been insane. And, you know, we all have our stories about the jaywalker. It's just so interesting. I love hearing all these stories because when I listened to it the first time, I just rolled my eyes and went, I can't relate to this. Why do we have to keep reading this? And it just, you know, it would get to me all the time. So here we are on the second paragraph on 38, and it talks about how, yeah, we're intelligent people. But, you know, the way we act around food, or let me just keep the focus on myself, the way I react around food is insane. And that's just it, because I have a mental blank spot, a mental twist, and a mental obsession. And so when it comes to the food, like in other areas of my life, I'm normal in some, not all, but some. You know, that strangely insane idea, because this insane idea always won out. That's what was so interesting, is that my disease will try to convince me I don't have a disease, and it tries really hard all the time. It wants me to identify out. And the most insane thing that I think of, that I got reminded of recently, is that, you know, how insane was it for me to take that first bite when I was abstinent? I mean, that's insanity. It's like, you know, going down that rabbit hole. And, you know, all throughout this, there's all this stuff about I and you and all this stuff. But, you know, God's not anywhere to be found in this. And that's what I do know, that I have, you know, a disease that only a spiritual malady is going to help. And as long as I'm face down in the food, I will be insane. My thinking will be insane. My decisions will be insane. The mental blank spot, the mental twist will gang up against the intellect and tell me it'll be different this time. And that's the crazy part, is that if I look at my own record, it's been pretty crazy for several decades. So when I had the quantities, the sugar, the flour, all that stuff face down in it, I'm purely insane, and God's nowhere to be found. And, you know, they say insane people always think they're not insane. So I know that I'm insane around this food, and without the steps and without God, I can't do this, and I pass. Thank you, Kathleen.
And thank you, Sherry KB. Keita D. from New York, you're up, followed by Noel E. Keita, can you press star 1 to unmute your phone?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. Thank you.
Sorry about that. Hi, this is Keita from New York, a recovering compulsive overeater, and this is my first time sharing on the call. In fact, this is the end of my first week, and I've been abstinent since Tuesday, and it's the first time I've been abstinent since before Thanksgiving of last year, and I just could not stop eating. I didn't think I'd get emotional, but in terms of the paragraph, for some reason I thought of my career, you know, in terms of the intelligence piece. Like, God bless me with a passion for teaching. I'm a middle school teacher, and, you know, I've been to undergrad, got my master's, postgraduate work. I have a passion for traveling. I'm a social studies teacher, and so God bless me to, like, put together applications, you know, that were competitive applications for Fulbrights that I won, that he blessed me with, to go to Japan and Ethiopia and Saudi Arabia. And I studied at Oxford University, which was a bucket list thing. And I worked so hard. But in every single one of those situations, food just it just became like the center of the trip. Like, I'm there for intellectual pursuits, but I'm like, what can I have? Like when I was in Tokyo, you know, we were invited to try the local cuisine, but I just kept going to the local Western fast food chains, which were in Tokyo, because I just needed my fix. Like, I could sit down at a state dinner, you know, with dignitaries in Yamagata and have, you know, basically kind of like abstinent food, but in the back of my mind, I'd be thinking, what sweet thing could I have? Like, it just was awful. And I so wanted to be present because I worked so hard to get to those study trips and bring the information back to my students. And I did those things, but gosh, if I had just been able to remove the specter of my compulsion, it would have, I think, just been such a more technicolor experience. But I just want to say thank you to you all. I did my last sort of binge. I ordered all this stuff on Instacart Sunday night because the storm was coming, and I was like, oh my gosh. So I talked to my sponsor. I'm like, I got to do these vision meetings. I broke my ankle. I can come every day. So I came every day this week except my doctor's appointment, and I just want to thank you all for your love. I haven't felt this kind of love and commiseration in a long time. So it's a total miracle that I haven't eaten compulsively in 4 days. So thank you. This is Keita from New York, and I pass.
And thank you, Keita D. from New York. Noel E., you're up, followed by Kara B.
Hi, this is Noelle E. From Louisiana, gratefully recovered, not cured. Thank you, everybody, for your service on this line, especially Keita. Congratulations on all the abstinence this week. Your share was so powerful. I love this paragraph because I strive for, I just am so grateful to have found this belonging in OA and taken it seriously, that this disease terrifies me and it terrifies, you know, even my husband. So he takes it so seriously. I mean, it just means so much to me. It being described this way, that it is insanity, because if we were talking about my behavior with cocaine or anything else, I would be taken away, you know, like my children would be taken away from me. My behavior was so unfit, and it's just not the nice girl's addiction that you know, other people might perceive it, or that I maybe perceived it for as long as it was. It was debilitating, and so I just appreciate how I just appreciate the gravity of what we're dealing with and the way it's described in this paragraph, because it might have not been something as instant as a jaywalker getting hit by a bus, but it was a road to annihilation. Every year, more and more, every change and every shift of trying to basically figure out a new way to pretend I had a hold on it. It was just such a masterful disease that gets so much stronger and so much stronger. So, I didn't mean to use a word so respectfully, like masterful, cunning, baffling. But I'm grateful for everybody's service, and I'm grateful to be brought to my knees by my insanity, because it just makes me reach up for God's hand, which is always out. It's always out, even if I'm not squeezing back. He's always extended it, and it feels like a privilege to be able to share on this line. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Noelle E. from Louisiana. And it's Tara with a T, B, correct?
I'm wondering, did you mean Sarah B?
Oh, I probably meant Sarah B. I was
right.
Alrighty,
I'll take it.
Yes. And then you're going to be followed by Sherry HM. Go ahead, Sarah B.
Okay, thank you. This is Sarah B. from New York. Thank you, everybody. Thanks, Team Friday. I also related to that part that the speaker talked about, or one of the sharers talked about. You know, I have been intelligent in other respects, and I did well in school, and I could manage, and I came in when I was in college and had degrees, and I absolutely could not believe and could not wrap my head around the fact that I could be accomplished in other areas. I could see where I was not, you know, I was not a candidate to keep drinking and doing other things in college, which I stopped. But the food, I could not believe that a person who could manage their affairs and be intelligent and have degrees and go to college could not manage their food. It was just an impossible thing for me to think about and get my head around. But I ate like an addict, and it was a painful experience. It was fast, sudden, furious, and very debilitating, very, very destructive. I can't say I was ever a happy eater. And so I really had to get humble and really, you know, get down on my knees and really examine this and just say, you know what, I am different from my fellows. I cannot eat. I do not eat like other people. I would say eating doesn't bring me joy and happiness. Living the 12 steps does, and I really had to do a lot of inner work and was very grateful to find the 12 steps at a young age. I had to do a lot of inner work in order to deal with life and not let people, places, and things affect my eating affect how I viewed life and how I would take it out on food. So the jaywalking story, you know, I didn't fully get it, but listening to everyone share over this past week, I understand it's more comprehensible to me about the jaywalker, and just thinking you're different and this one time will be different. And thanks to the program and the dedicated, you know, abstinence and people that work the program, I'm really very happy to be part of the pack, you know, and happy to practice the principles and abstinence every day. So thank you again for letting me share. Pass.
And thank you, Sarah B. from New York. Sherry H.M., you're up, followed by Patty F. Go ahead, Sherry.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M., recovered compulsive overeater from Mount Vernon, Washington State. Oh, my gosh. Wow. This is a reminder that is a progressive, deadly disease, and I can't do it, you know. But about 7 years ago, I started to come into these meetings through podcasts, because we didn't have the West Coast, or, you know, the later version. I wasn't going to get up at 4 in the morning. So anyway, and I also went and listened to the story of my friend who'd been telling me about vision, and she kept off 55 pounds for, I don't know, 15 years or something. And of course, that made my ears tingle, you know, the weight loss. Some for the vanity, stay for the sanity. And yesterday was 6.5 years for abstinence, and I just can't thank you guys enough. Thanks to God, thanks to this wonderful vision has helped me more than any other OA meetings. And wow, you know, it really does work. Like it says it really works. That's one of the sentences in our book. So just keep on work in the program, work in the steps, get a sponsor. And I'm so grateful for you guys. And thanks so much. And I pass.
And thank you, Sherry H.M. And I just want to remind everyone on the line that we're on page 38, the second paragraph that begins with "you may think." And I'll be taking some more names after Patty F. shares. So go ahead, please, Patty F.
Hi, this is Patty F. from Massachusetts. I'm a compulsive overeater, and this is my first time sharing on this line, and I am very nervous. But I basically just wanted to say that, yeah, I'm insane around food. I don't do what I want to do, and I just get all upset and depressed, and then I feel like I want to eat, and I just can't do that. So what I'm going to do is break it down into the morning, the afternoon, and the night, and just try and do one abstinent meal at each time. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Patty F. from Massachusetts. And I think I forgot to mention Sherry H.M. was from Washington. Okay, we're on page 38, the second paragraph. You may think, and if you have not shared in the last 3 days, I'll take your name for sharing on this paragraph.
This is Patty from Massachusetts.
Okay, I heard Patty from Massachusetts. Your initial Patty?
Patty L.
L, okay. And a couple more people came in with Patty. Who are they?
Roz.
Yeah.
Laura W.
Eileen D.
Roz G.
Okay.
Molly
okay,
M.
So hold on. Hold on 1 second. Roz G. Laura, what's your initial? Okay, I'll get it when we come back. And Eileen, if you're still on, what's your initial?
D, as in David.
D as in David. And Molly M.
And Laura R.
And that was Laura W.
Laura R.
before. Oh, okay. So Laura W. And
Laura W.
Kathy
okay.
S.
Okay. I'll put you on here, Kathy. I'm not sure if we'll get to you. We may. I think we might have time.
Okay.
Okay. So I have Patty L., Roz G., Laura W., Eileen D., Molly M., Laura R., and Kathy S. So go ahead, please, Patty L.
Hi, can you hear me? This is Patty L. from Massachusetts.
Yes, I can hear you, Patty. Thanks.
Oh, hi. Good morning, everyone. I'm new to this fellowship and this program, and I just want to say how grateful I am and how much I appreciate this. It's amazing, and I'm getting so much out of it. I'm newly abstinent. I've been abstinent for about a week now, and I can identify so much with the Jaywalker. I absolutely love this story. I've read it before, but I'm just kind of reading the big book and just getting it in a whole different way just by listening to all the insights from all of you guys. And I can just identify so much with just that doing the same thing over and over again, hurting myself with food over and over and over again, and just expecting it to be different and just trying to control it and trying to do it in a different way. And then waking up and realizing, wow, I've been doing this for decades, and feeling almost like I've been in some kind of a weird time warp with it. It's that insanity. Like I just, it was almost like I was captured by some kind of an outer body experience when I realized this has been going on for decades. The idea of just waking up every day and thinking, oh, today I'm going to do it. Today I'm going to do it. And then once again, you know, just like that Jaywalker, taking that first bite and then, you know, not really being tricked into it, like that twist of the mind like you guys are talking about, and then taking that first bite and then having it just take me, eating against my will, and then just that misery that it ends up bringing on by the end of the day, that guilt, the shame, the remorse, you know, the self-hatred, not to mention, like people mention here, is just the mental insanity. I always thought that my mental condition was totally separate than my food problem. I could never put two and two together. But now I'm really starting to see that the mental condition has everything to do with the food. I didn't know that. But I'm just like the Jaywalker, and it's good to know. And I just want to thank everyone. This is Patty from Massachusetts. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patty L. from Massachusetts. And Roz G., you are up, followed by Laura W. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning. My name is Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And I also want to talk about the intelligence, you know. I have all the college degrees that you can get with letters after my name. And I have taught school for many years, and one of the main subjects that I taught was health. And in the health curriculum, there's a whole, I mean, almost all of the discussions are geared towards nutrition and exercise. I mean, there's decision making and there's so many other things. But, you know, I taught health and I taught nutrition sections and I taught exercise sections. And I did not have a clue as to being a, all of that. I'll say it like this. Self-knowledge avails us nothing, avails me nothing. It doesn't matter how much I know, because I have a spiritual malady. For me, like knowledge in the human realm and spirit in the spiritual realm do not mix. I have to have a spiritual solution for the spiritual malady that I have. Yeah, I know about food, and I know about, you know, complex carbohydrates and simple carbohydrates and proteins and what they do, but it didn't matter, because once the phenomenon of craving hit me and the buildup of human emotions was too strong, I wanted to do what that lady also said in the earlier share. I wanted to go to fast food. So I just want to say that today I have a spiritual solution for a spiritual malady, and that is a power greater than myself that has lifted the desire for me to eat compulsively. And as a human being, yes, I have emotions, and yes, sometimes food thoughts come, but I have the spiritual tools that were laid at my feet, and I choose to pick them up in the morning, during the day, and at night. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. from California. Laura W., you're up, followed by Eileen D. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. Thanks so much for your service. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. I really enjoy listening to the shares this morning. I listened to most of the morning, the 7 a.m. meeting this morning, too. And you know, I don't, I've been in recovery, I've been abstinent and recovered since 2004. So September 2nd, 2004, I got abstinent again after almost a 3-year relapse. And, you know, I thought I had it. I thought I had it back then. When I was first abstinent, I came in through a treatment center. I thought, this is it. And it was all about the food. It was all about, okay, I could just eat this and not eat that and I'd be okay. And, you know, they use such great words here. We've been through the ringer. And I was just, I felt like I was going through a ringer, being twisted and pulled and turned. And, you know, I had no focus, you know, and I had no real God in my life, no real higher power. I mean, I always believed in God. I grew up in a very religious home, but never did I think God would help me with my addictions. And so today, what I'm hearing in all these shares is the reminder of the importance of my spiritual connection. Yes, the food has to be down. Yes, my food is clean today. That is not an option. However, if I don't do my daily practice, if I don't connect with God, if I don't connect with my sponsees and my sponsor and do what I do every day, I will lose it. And that's how I lost it the first time almost 17 years ago. You know, like I just started taking the bricks out of the wall, you know, and then I wonder why everything crumbled. Well, I stopped going to meetings. I stopped weighing and measuring my food, which for me is what I need to do. And, you know, there's a saying, and I heard it on this line, I learned so much through you. Nothing that comes out of my mouth is unique. Everything is learned from you. You know, one day without God and God knows it. 2 days without God and I know it. 3 days without God and everybody knows it. And that is why each day I need to connect with my higher power. I need to release that false sense of control that my disease tells me I have. This disease has, you know, does not discriminate. From Park Avenue to Park Bench, it will get us. It will get us every time. And as long as I stay in fit spiritual condition while abstinent, because often I wondered, you know, I was restricting and over-exercising, and I was still praying, please God, don't let me do it tomorrow. Please God, don't let me do it tomorrow. And I was still doing it and wondering why I wasn't getting results. Because it does, God does make me, you know, he asks me to do the effort. I've got to put the food down. I've got to get it in its place first. He's not going to do that for me. So, you know, and the word insane, yes, it's strong language, but it is true. I'm grateful to be in recovery today, and I'm grateful that this meeting is here every day for me to remind myself who I am and whose I am. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. from New Jersey. And good morning, Eileen D. You're up, followed by Molly M.
Good morning. This is Eileen D. from Maryland. Thank you for just a really powerful, warm, and transparent meeting. Thank you for everyone who shared. You know, I read this paragraph, and at the very end, it really struck me, you know, talking about the jaywalker and it, the last sentence, it's strong language, but isn't it true? And I kind of stopped at that and thought, yeah, where was truth all the years and decades that I would kind of like the big lie, the big cover up? I'm okay. No, I'm not. I can do this. No, I can't. And I never really got to the center and the root of who I was. And who I am, without God. I just thought I could do it myself. I was, like everyone shared before, successful in so many things, but not successful in food. Therefore, not really successful in life, because I would go away after I had the big good day, and I would eat, and then I would be miserable, and then it eventually went into self-hate, which is not where my higher power, my God, would have me. So I had to face truth, and the truth was I was lost. And I needed a program, and I'd been in out of the rooms for decades, but this time it stuck. And it stuck because I asked. I asked my higher power, I need you, I can't do this. And so I now had a partner, you know, and in life, but a greater partner than me or man. And I have been sane. And I think spiritually, the sanity is showing up, giving service, doing the steps, not settling for less, because life is good and full. It's just a question of for me, saying, you're in charge, God, I'm not. So thanks so much for letting me share. Have a great weekend, everyone.
And thank you, Eileen D. from Maryland. Molly M., you are up, followed by Laura R. Go ahead, Molly.
Hi, good morning. Molly M. from New York. Oh, thank you so much for everybody being on this meeting. I so relate to the jaywalker. I don't believe, I can't understand except that I know I have a disease and an emotional disease that I forget I'm good, everything's going well, my life is okay, and the food is still calling. It doesn't matter if I'm happy, I'm sad, if I'm enjoying, I just, the food, unless I'm totally spiritually fit and connecting to my higher power, making these meetings on a daily basis and praying like my house is on fire, will I be able to make another day. I've been having hard times, I've been picking up, and that's why I'm so aware that please just get on my knees and pray. And make the call. I was like, why didn't I just call someone? The other day I had a spiritual experience. I was ready to eat when the kids came home and it's late already. And I'm like, okay, you know, I just had a day of emotions and everything that was going on. And if I'm not handling my program first, then I'm going to lose it. It's at this point, maybe always, but at this point in my life. So I definitely could relate. I've done it so many times. It would be different. I could do this. I could just have this. It's not going to be a problem for me. And each and every time I just go back in front of the car and, you know, maybe just get a pinky run over, a toe run over. But actually, these pinkies and toes are adding up to a whole life. But that, by the grace of God, I have the program and I can say the serenity prayer in the morning and not beat myself up and let go. And ground myself into the steps. That's my plan. I've been around for many years, but I never grounded into the steps. I have this. Some people have it easy. Some people have it hard. But I am a hardcore addict, and I want to do. I still, through all the pain and suffering that I went through in life, have this mental obsession to want to do it my way, and it hasn't worked. So I pray to God to allow me just to surrender and work my program one day at a time. And thank you so much, all of you. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
And thank you, Molly M. from New York. Laura R., you're up, followed by Kathy S. Go ahead, Laura.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Colorado. This meeting has been absolutely amazing. Welcome to everyone who's new. Don't leave. I remember someone, you know, keep coming back. No, just stay. Just stay. And that's what I did. You know, even though I didn't get it for a while, I couldn't put the food down for a long time when I first came in, but I didn't leave. And I'm so grateful for that because I'm like, no, I'm going to get this, God, if we're going to get this. But I just want to share, I am the strangely insane. I mean, it is strangely insane what my head tells me. In December, I almost picked up, and I have over a year. January 18th was my birthday, so thank God I didn't pick up, but it was, the thought came in. I was on vacation, and I didn't let up on my disciplines, you know, so I really don't know what happened, but all of a sudden, I wanted coffee, and that is a big no-no, probably one of my biggest on my abstinence list, and I cannot drink that stuff, and, you know, because when I do, it's 15 cups, and who I am and what it does to me, and especially the same thing in the food. I am rageful. I am not patient. I am lack of tolerance. Like I'm in fear constantly, major anxiety. Like it is, I am not fun to be around. And when I was in the food about 3 years ago and drinking coffee, like just, you know, I was just in the food before I got into program. All I would do is sit and just pray, please God, I want to be a better mother. But I couldn't because I would just snap at my beautiful little three-year-old boy and just like, oh, Nash, duh, like just get so frustrated. I grew up in a house when I was growing up with a lot of rage, and that's how I knew how to, you know, I get triggered and boom, it just was everyone else's fault and I would blow up. And I didn't want to be that way. I had 15 years of sobriety and I did not want to be that way. I knew that, like, wait, these are not the promises. I'm still, but I was addicted to food. So I was overeating and I could not tap into the power. And so thank God I got to put down the food first, and then I needed to put down the caffeine. And once that went down, you know, all of a sudden, it's been a year and I have been patient. I have been, the promises have come true in my life. I was even talking to my therapist the other day. I'm not my stepfather. I'm not that person anymore. And it blows me away because for so long I was. But the insanity was in December. I almost threw it all away. I almost threw it all away. And it's insane because my head told me that, you know what? I think I can maybe manage better this time. Are you kidding me? And it took my husband, because I was trying to get him to co-sign my stuff, and he's like, I will never co-sign your stuff. I'm like, just leave me alone. He's like, that's what every addict wants, is for you to be left alone, and I won't. Thank you, God, he's in recovery too. And, you know, he looked at me with tears in his eyes and a ripple in his lip and said, I'm terrified if you pick up. And it was like, what? Like, terrified? Like, you're terrified of me? My husband used to be afraid of me. That is not the life I want to live. That's not my soul. So I just want to say I am so grateful. Thank you, God, for these meetings. Thank you, God, for the tools. Thank you, God, for the steps. Thank you, God, that we get each other. Like, this meeting has been epic, just so vulnerable and honest. And I just want to say thank you all to helping me with my abstinence one day at a time. And I'm so glad to be here with people with one day to 15 years. It's amazing, 16. It's awesome. So just thank you so much. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Laura R. in Colorado. So, Kathy S., you are up. Go ahead, please.
Hi, it's Kathy S. from New York. I'm a compulsive overeater, so happy to be joining in. This is new for me, not the program, just visions. I've been around for a long time, kind of dabbling in and out, and coming to realize that it needs to be kind of a full-time job. And I can relate to the jaywalker of, you know, in the end, he breaks his back. You know, it's just incredible to me that in food addiction, you do that. I do the same thing again and again, and I expect different results, you know, and that's the definition of insanity, right? So, I'm just so grateful that I'm not alone in this. It's been quite snowy here in New York, and so being stuck in the house is not always the best environment. But having meetings to tune into is awesome. So hope everybody has a great weekend, and thanks again. Pat.
And thank you, Kathy S. in New York. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and work. Couple minutes ahead, but rather than get behind, we'll go ahead and close the meeting. So let's see. Thank you everyone who shared this morning. So grateful for all your wonderful shares. Special thanks to Team Friday. And we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Dana P., would you please read A Vision for You?
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you so much for your service. And thanks to everyone on the line. From A Vision for You, 164 Alcoholics Anonymous. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.